Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Tara Peterson, and she's the Director of Development for Kudavana. And this is, I'm going to let you, Tara, explain what Kudavana. Is that how it should be pronounced?
Kudavana, yes.
Kudavana.
Kudavana means loving children in the language of Shona, which is in Zimbabwe where we work.
Okay, and just tell us how this is it a children's home? Is it a number of homes? Tell me about your organization.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm really honored. So Kudavana Partnership houses a number of programs, our main one being our children's home, which is located in a rural part of Zimbabwe, right down near the border of Mozambique, if you're familiar with that part of Africa at all. And we operate a children's home that takes care of 50 children on our campus, in addition to another 25 or so that live off our campus that are in our youth transition program, which we can talk a bit more about. But our mission is really to empower the most vulnerable children of Zimbabwe to not just survive, but thrive. And we work there because in that particular country, there is a real problem with orphan care.
Yeah, so how did you come to be involved with this?
That's a great question.
I mean, you look like you could be a development officer for a company 500. Company.
Well, thank you. You know, I was actually going to be an English teacher, but God had other ideas, and I ended up moving overseas for a bit, and God called me to work for ADRA, and then shortly after that, I worked for World Vision, and I really got to see what really good development works looks like in developing countries from a larger scale. And then I moved to the States, and I actually live in Denver, Colorado. That's where I'm based. And through my church, there was a ministry that rose up. There was a children's home in Zimbabwe that a wonderful woman by the name of Paula Lean had started years ago. She lived and worked in Zimbabwe, and she was in her 70s when she started this children's home, and in her 80s was looking to retire and was looking for someone who would take over and really help complete the work and continue the work. And a couple from our church felt really called that this is what God wanted them to do. And so our church really got behind it and grew. And I swore I never wanted to work for a tiny nonprofit. I really liked working for the big guys, but God actually asked me to do that. And it's been a wonderful ride. I've learned so much from the people there. And I have so many exciting things I'm looking forward to telling you about.
I am too. But I have to ask, I know, and I interview so many people who have a real heart for orphans and are going over, you know, maybe tomorrow even. They just came to ASI and now they're going to head back. They can hardly wait to get back to their children. Do you share your expertise of development with any other organizations?
I definitely try. I actually just had a great conversation yesterday with someone here with ASI, and we were sharing some best practices. She works in Laos. I really enjoy working with and learning from other folks in development and similar types of work. So yesterday I had a great conversation with a woman who runs a organization in Laos, and I was sharing with her some of the online data tools and things that we use that are really affordable for connecting with our donors, and she in turn was sharing with me some of the cross-cultural training that they do for their volunteers before they go to Laos, which is something we really are looking forward to taking advantage of and learning from her. So it's a great way to share with each other and learn from each other, definitely.
When I think of a director of development, I think of grant writing and, you know, really developing relationships with potential donors and, you know, maybe some black tie affairs where you thank them. And what does development look like for an overseas orphanage?
Well, you certainly named all the things I used to do when I was working for large organizations, and those definitely encompassed my job. But I will tell you, as a fundraiser, it was very humbling to see what God had done for Kudavana through just volunteers and people sharing a compelling story of the children and their need for our help and what someone could do with a bit of money to change the life of a child for eternity. And, you know, that's all it takes, telling a story and sharing with someone how they can help. And I love that part of my job. I love finding ways to connect people with causes they can get excited about and know that they can make a difference, even if it's not a large sum of money.
Yeah, like the widow's mite, you know, that she's still giving today with her generosity and people recognizing that God can bless that.
And I think that's what makes Kudavana special and why I'm very proud to work for us. So we are small and we're intentionally small. So I mentioned earlier we have 50 children on our campus, and that's capacity. Plus, we have another campus, which I'll explain a bit about, for our young people who are over the age of 18. We sort of have this sort of internal motto. I don't know that it's official, but do for a few what you would like to do for many. And then you can invest very deeply in the life of a person, and then they can go forward themselves and also change lives in their communities. And we feel very blessed that we're able to do that and treat the children there just like they were my own children. I have a daughter, and we want to treat those kids the same way I would treat my daughter. And that's what makes us really not your typical orphanage.
Yes. And you can go to the website, www.kudavana. It's spelled KUDAVANA.org. To learn more.
Yes, and we, as I mentioned, we run a few different programs. So we have a children's home.
Yeah, let's go through every program.
Yeah. Our children's home is not, when you think of an orphanage, a lot of people think about, you know, rows of steel beds and, you know, sort of chaos and a lot of noise. And we're definitely not set up that way. Our children are growing up in group homes. We have 4 group homes and a nursery where they're learning what it's like to be part of a family, to share chores, to help each other. With 10 children and full-time caregivers in each home. We have women only as caregivers for a lot of different reasons, but they act as mother figures to all the children. And then our administrators, who are also local on campus, are men, so they can provide some really important father figures to the children. And then we also run our nursery, which is the only nursery, I might add, in our entire region. So we get all of the babies from this particular region of Zimbabwe. And I will tell you that without that nursery, you know, these babies, they wouldn't be alive.
Yes.
A lot of them are found in the bottom of pit toilets, unfortunately. Mm. So imagine an outhouse and someone dumping their baby alive in the bottom. And we get those babies. We find, you know, babies are brought to us that have been found in trash cans and in unimaginable circumstances. And it's such a tragedy. But we feel lucky that we then have the chance to raise these children so that their circumstances at birth don't have to define what they become. And we're very, very grateful to our donors that allowed us to launch that nursery. It's been about 2 years now since we've done that. So we have the group homes, and then we also have a school on campus. Our children were going to school in the local public school system, but they were being bullied. So orphans are stigmatized in Zimbabwe. The teachers were bullying them. They were told they were stupid. They would never learn. And one man in particular I can think of, he was about 14 and had never learned to read. But he was incredibly smart. I mean, the kid built a like solar fan for himself. And, you know, he's really brilliant kid. But he was told, you'll never learn to read. You're stupid. Well, this was happening a lot. Some of the children would even come home beaten up by their teachers. And so almost 3 years ago, we launched our own primary school for our younger kids to really emotionally and academically prepare them for a positive secondary school experience. And we hired local teachers to administer the program. And since doing that, almost all of our kids have caught up to grade level and are even outperforming their public school peers on state standardized tests. And this young man has since learned to read. His favorite thing to read is the Bible. He's so proud of himself, and he has so much more confidence because he needed that individual attention. And I'm sure, I think, you know, as a parent, that's what I would want for my children.
Yeah,
is that individual attention that they need. So we're very proud of our school. And our high school kids we send to, many of them go to the Adventist school in Harare, Zimbabwe, which is boarding school. Most kids in Zimbabwe go to boarding school. So those are two programs that we have.
Yeah, so you actually have to continue supporting the kids even into the when they go to boarding school.
Yeah, so our children go to boarding school. And then you might ask, well, what happens when they turn 18?
Yes.
Because here in the United States and also elsewhere, legally, when they turn 18, they cannot stay on campus any longer. And unfortunately, most organizations don't have the capacity to continue caring for kids after 18, and it actually perpetuates those societal problems of poverty,
yes,
early pregnancy. They probably don't have a complete education yet, and they're not equipped to be self-sufficient. So we launched last year our youth transition program. So we actually have a separate campus where when young people turn 18, they have been meeting with our administration for over a year to determine their next steps. They go move to this campus while they finish high school, go to trade school, and even college. We just had our first young lady graduate with this college certificate in teaching. And many of them also are going into agriculture, mechanics, things like that, so that we will support them up until they're finished with school or about the age of 22 to make sure that they do have the skills they need to take care of themselves and their families one day.
Wonderful.
And that's really, I mean, we're not your typical orphanage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're seeing them all the way to adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Well, we have to take a break right here, but when we come back, then I'd love to hear some stories.
Sure.
We'll be right back. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion, and I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry, and I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support, so take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of books from different guests that I've had on the show and different topics that I've done. And I also have some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome back. I'm talking to Tara Peterson, who is the Director of Development for the Kudavana. Do you call it children's home, orphanage? What is it called? It encompasses so much more because it encompasses the for the infants and for the children, and then you just go all the way to adulthood. So
our organization's name is Kudavana Partnership, which really signifies we try very hard to partner with people here in the States to provide care for the children there. But also we really work hard to partner with local organizations there in Zimbabwe to provide the best care possible for our kids.
Okay, so I know I want some stories, but what are some of the partnerships that you're talking about locally there?
Sure. So obviously we work very closely with social services. All of our children are processed through there. And because of our good relationship with them, we've actually been asked to participate in a lot of government panels on best practices for children's homes in Zimbabwe. We're very proud of that. We also partner pretty closely with the church there. So our young people attend church, which is about 30 minutes from our children's home. At least once a month, they go to the Seventh-day Adventist church there to really create relationships with the families. They spend school holidays with them and in the hopes that eventually they may be fostered or adopted. And we also have partnered with an organization called Junior Achievement Zimbabwe, which teaches our young people essential entrepreneurship and financial literacy skills, which in a country with 95% unemployment is really critical.
Yes.
To do that. So we're very proud. We try really hard not to reinvent the wheel, but to partner with other organizations that can help us achieve the best outcomes for our kids.
Now, how would someone go about adopting one of these children?
Well, and that's why we're there. Unfortunately, Zimbabwe does not allow international adoption. So that's closed. And culturally, there is not a culture of adoption in Zimbabwe. There's I think they process about 15 adoptions a year in the entire country.
Wow.
And there's over 1 million orphans. It has the highest rate of orphans per capita of almost any country in the world.
Wow.
Which is why we work there, because otherwise there's this generation of children orphaned by AIDS, by typhoid, by economic issues, that are growing up without the skills to take care of themselves and are just going to perpetuate that cycle of poverty and child abandonment.
Oh, breaks your heart. Okay, so as heartbreaking as it is, tell us a story.
Sure. I have a story from the last time I was there. So I mentioned I live in Denver, but I go over at least once a year, and our managing trustees live there a good share most of the year. And the last time I was there, there was a baby brought in that had been, well, he was a toddler, really, maybe a year or two. He had been found on the streets, and he had obviously been wandering on his own for several days. He had a plastic bag as a diaper, so he was just in really bad shape, and he was just devastated. You could just tell this child was afraid, and he was so dirty and just had that look of fear that he couldn't trust anyone. And social services brought him to us, and we bathed him, and I got to watch him over the next several weeks, and this kid never smiled, and he was given a lot of love and attention. And it's taken about a year. So the last time I went back, I saw this little boy who's now about 3, and he's a changed kid. He smiles, he runs around campus. He had had some issues with his legs and his spine, and we'd been giving him physical therapy, and now he's like any other little boy. And hopefully, you know, the damage and those scars will always be there, but we hope that you know, we're giving him a knowledge of a Father in heaven who's never going to hurt him or abandon him. And that's a beautiful thing. And we try very hard to do that for our kids. We've actually hired an on-staff psychologist who is local, and she does individual therapy with our children as well as group therapy. So she helps address those latent issues of trauma that results in a lot of, you know, bad behaviors and things for our children. And again, that's not typical of most orphanages, to provide mental health care in addition to physical care, love, good nutrition, all of those things.
You had mentioned about the young lady who recently graduated with her teaching certificate.
Mm-hmm.
So can she teach in Zimbabwe then in a public school, or will she come back and work for Kudavana?
That's a great question. Right now, I believe she's looking for work. Again, in a country with 95% unemployment, unfortunately, it's a very difficult thing. She may be looking for work for a while, which is why we also send almost all of our teenagers to a trade school to learn some kind of trade, like weaving or mechanics, so they have something else they can fall back on if their professional degree isn't working out for a while. So she's still looking for a position. My hope is that she'll find a teaching job in Zimbabwe. It's not guaranteed, unfortunately. But we're, you know, again, we're one big family, and so we're still looking after her and making sure that she's doing okay and giving her encouragement and support as she searches for a job.
If someone was to come forward and say, we would like to sponsor her to further her education in the United States or Europe, would
certainly
that be
possible.
An option
yes.
for her?
And that's a good question you bring up. So a lot of people think that working in Africa is cheap. Honestly, Zimbabwe is not. It's quite expensive there to raise a child, to clothe a child, to provide school uniforms and books and medicine and medical care. Some of our children actually have HIV and AIDS, so they have to be provided with drugs very regularly. The prices of those are constantly going up in Zimbabwe. If you followed the news at all, economically, they're in another free fall. It's one of the worst situations they've had in more than a decade. So for us, it costs about $5,000 for one child every year in terms of all of our expenses. But we do have a monthly sponsorship program where someone can essentially adopt a child. We'll send you information about that child, an annual update and their photo. And your monthly gift of $25 or more can help ensure that child has what they need, not just to survive, but to thrive.
And they can find that information on your website?
Mm-hmm. All of our children that are available for sponsorship are right there on our website.
Okay, so go to Kudavana, that's spelled KUDAVANA.org, and sponsor a child or two.
And I'd love to tell you another story about the reason I said yes to Kudavana when I was like, I'm never going to work for a tiny little nonprofit. But several years back, this has probably been about 3.5-4 years now, there was a baby girl who was brought to us. She had been left and abandoned at a hospital, which is very common there. And babies will languish in hospitals for months or sometimes years until they can find someone to take them. And again, we are the only children's home in our area that take babies. She was brought to us. She had a heart condition, a defect. She was the tiniest little one I have ever seen. She was so sickly. She could barely cry. And she needed a heart operation, open heart surgery at just, a few weeks old. So someone, they came to our church and they said, look, this little one needs surgery. Would anyone step up to help? And someone did, and they made a gift, and within a week she had the heart surgery, and now she is a 3.5-year-old Aww. Little girl who is just the jewel of our campus. She's a princess. Everyone loves her. You would never know of what had happened to her, and someone literally saved her life by saying yes. And I would say to anyone out there looking to invest in children that are also going to be learning about a father in heaven and being educated and equipped for a positive future, Kuduvana is really going to make good use of your money. I am the only paid stateside staff person, and I only work part-time, and my salary is paid by a donor, generous donor. So most of your gifts, almost all of your gifts, go directly to the children's home in Zimbabwe. Furthermore, all of our staff are from Zimbabwe. So I mentioned earlier we have 95% unemployment in that country. So part of our ministry really is our staff and being for them to be able to care for their families. And many of them have also gone on to become baptized or follow Christianity.
I love the fact that we might feel we're, not have very much money here in the United States, but you just can sell something and easily get
a little bit goes a long way.
Easily get a $25 amount to fund your sponsorship. So we're coming to the end of our show, and I wondered if you had a favorite text or a favorite word to say or a mantra that you live your life by that would encourage maybe someone else to become a development officer for a nonprofit such as Kuduvana.
Well, I will tell you this. One of our children's favorite texts at Kuduvana, and it's, I think, especially a beautiful text for an orphan or someone who's gone through something so difficult, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, and to give you hope in a future. I never thought in a million years I'd be doing this. But when God, he has something in mind, and I believe he has something in mind for each of those children, and I believe he has something in mind for all of our listeners use their gifts for his good, whatever that is. I really do believe that God directs our steps, and sometimes we don't always agree. So never say never, because his plans will follow through.
That's right.
But if you would like to donate, if our listeners have been moved today to help a vulnerable child in Zimbabwe, I would encourage you to go to our website, kuduvana.org. And we are a 501c3 nonprofit, so you can donate. It's tax deductible. You can also make an easy gift of stock. So maybe people don't have cash on hand, but they'd like to donate stock. That's a very easy process as well and really helps us.
Yes. Well, you have been talking to Tara Peterson from Kuduvana, and I just appreciate you spending this time with us and with our listeners. And I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
Thank you so much for having me. God bless you too.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.